The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. What up, Orange Country? Look, we got a ton to get to on this episode. We have the biggest news out of Orange Country. Joel Quenneville being named head coach to our very own Anaheim Ducks. So stoked on that. He was at the top of my list. I'm not even saying that. I'm not even saying that to people please or act like I'm right, because, I mean, you know, I've had some epic fails prediction-wise recently. I'm rational. I'll call myself out when I need to be called out on, and overall hold myself accountable on some of my decisions. Predictions. I had Coach Q at the top of my list. I put together a little, you know, five free agent coaching list, and he was at the top of that list. And it's his experience. It is a number of things. I can't wait. I know all of you are excited about that veteran experience he'll bring in order to lift this organization to new heights. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. We got some adult hockey, beer hockey, or beer hockey tip, if you will. That's later. I know you're all excited for that. And, of course, I got a few more things to toss at you and have you snack on for lunch. But first, we have Chris Phillips joining us for today's episode. Can't wait to hear what he has to share. So let's take a listen. Chris Phillips is our special guest here today on Eat 'Em Up. And Chris, I've known you for a very, very long time, a huge part of Ducks history. So good to see you. I know we were catching up there prior to hopping on air here. And look, how have things been in... Just tell the listeners just your role with Compete and what you do day in and day out, the accolades. And I know you separated yourself with all of your accomplishments as far as getting the proper qualifications necessary to be the best in your field. So please introduce yourself. I'm giving you the floor here.
Sweet. Thanks, Amber. Yeah, Chris Phillips. I'm an athletic trainer and strength coach. Started out as a PT student back in the day, and tore my own ACL in high school and kind of learned the rehab part of it and decided that that was my role and way to get to professional sports. Started out interning as a American League in New Haven with the Nighthawks and as an athletic trainer. And I got lucky that the year I graduated, their guy left. I took his job, and you know, it started out 17 years in pro hockey. That included, being an athletic trainer with the Ducks from 99 to 05. So the year we lost in the finals, not the year we won, but still got there. And now I own Compete Sports Performance and Rehab. We have openings in Lake Forest, facilities in Lake Forest, and then out in Yorba Linda. I just found that, A, you get burnt out after a while. Like all the travel, you know, everything, all the hours gets a little bit rough. And I saw an opening of like where my kids and my kids' friends and friends' kids were going to places for injury rehab and therapy and strength conditioning, and just felt like it wasn't the par that I was used to because I've been at the pro level for so long. So that's where I decided to open up my own place. And we've been here for 16 years. And, you know, now we've had over 150 athletes get college scholarships to play sports. And then we've had two guys drafted in the first round with Zeke Bouillon last year, and then Jonathan Blum. Shoot, it's been about 12, 13 years now, but, you know, we've seen a bunch of other guys. Zeke's brother, Shai, has been with us too since he was about 12. He was a second-round pick. We've had a bunch of guys turn pro in soccer, and it's just been kind of fun to, like, watch everybody grow. And, you know, like, for us, it's just helping guys get better, girls get better. And, you know, whether it's the sports performance training side or the injury rehab side and getting them back, actually, we have a pro soccer player in here now returning from an ACL, and just working with her and getting her better and getting her back to her team is something it's a lot of fun without the travel.
Well, congrats on everything, all your accomplishments, and keep crushing it. I know you've been really doing well for, you know, over a decade now, as far as compete and just your success in the marketplace. That's what it's all about, right? Any business, whether you're in physical therapy or the list goes on, finding a pain in the market, you certainly found it there. So congrats once again, Chris. And for the listeners, as a member of the Ducks organization, just go back from when did you sign on with the Ducks and then when did you depart?
So started out in 99, got a call from Pierre, who was our GM at the time, and he was our assistant GM when I was in the minors, and gave me a shout and got an interview and came out here in 99. And that was kind of the heyday to a point. I mean, it was little Paul Kariya, Tamo Solani days, you know, where it was exciting. It was, I remember a buddy of mine calling me and going, "Hey man, you're not going to an expansion team. You're going to a team with two legit superstars." And it, like, you can't get away with like the amount of like just pride that you had to get that job and then work with those guys. It was great. And it was just an awesome feeling. And then, you know, we had some ups and downs years there. And then, you know, 03, Babs came in and, you know, Brian Murray moved up to be our GM and he made some great moves. And then, you know, the big pink bringing in Rob Niedermeyer and Stumpy, Steve Thomas at the end there, just kind of helped pull everybody together. G got on fire. And, you know, next thing you know, you're in Stanley Cup Finals. You know, and I grew up in New York, so I grew up 30 minutes from, well, at the time, Brendan Byrne Arena. So playing the Devils in the finals was like going home for me. So, you know, even though you lost game seven, like I think at the time there was only like maybe 12 game sevens ever in NHL finals. So it was pretty cool, you know, and then the whole, it is what it is. You change ownership, you change management, you change coaches, you change staffs, and, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the profession, and ended up landing with the Caps. And spent the first 2 years with Ovi. So, you know, you went from Paul and, you know, Paul and Tamu to Alex Ovechkin. So pretty good run there.
Not too shabby there. And that's another thing for our audience is just the, I mean, technically staff, trainers, you know, anyone who works kind of in that area, kind of like players. I mean, as you mentioned, the business is business. It's ruthless. You said it. You touched on it. It was a great point that new management comes in. And a lot of times, you know, from top to bottom, huge organizational shifts. And I mean, there's obviously cost cutting, personnel changes. And you said it. I mean, a lot of times trainers, staff are like players and it could be in it one day. And then the next year you're onto a different franchise. And I tell you what, I mean, that's I'm jealous, right? That's an amazing feat from locker room to locker room. I mean, the guys you mentioned there, of course, Paul and Timu, and then the Ovi. I mean, you have been super spoiled when it comes to just personnel you've been working with. I know Ducks fans everywhere would love to hear your three most memorable just moments as a athletic trainer with the Anaheim Ducks.
Man, there are a lot of them. I would say one was just my first game. So that was, you know, we were in Dallas and it was interesting. We were open the series season and Paul had been coming off an injury he obtained in the summer. And, you know, we kind of got to that point where we're like, you know, it's a long season. Like if he misses the Dallas game, it gives us like four more days off before our next game. And having to make that decision, you know, in your first game was a little nerve wracking. Our coach was pretty cool. Craig Hartsburg was the one. He's like, I'll go break it to Paul. I'll tell him we're not playing. So I didn't have to break the bad news that day. But that first game in Dallas was sick. It was pretty cool. And then obviously the, you know, off the floor on the board, you know, with Paul and, you know, and obviously there's always the question of like, hey, how did he come back from that? And you're like, you know, things were different back then. You know, decisions were made back then that were a little bit different. I think, you know, in today's game, it probably would be a different decision. But in that day's game, everything was done correctly. There was nothing, you know, everything. He passed all our tests and, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, walking back out the runway with him, you know, getting back on the bench. And that was the loudest I've ever heard of any arena. And then obviously, you know, game seven, Stanley Cup Finals, like, you know, is obviously we lost, but I mean, just the electricity and the feeling of like, wow, not very many people get a chance to be involved in the game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Such special moments. Wow. And nice in-depth touching on that Paul Kariya moment. I mean, just that fog, right? Hitting his visor. And as you mentioned, I mean, maybe protocol been a little bit different, but it's nice to know that, right? Your standards and your template for how you went about your business, you followed all protocol, right? And so that's a very interesting take. And wow, some
when you look too, like you mentioned the fog on the visor, and we didn't see that till like 2 hours after the game. You know, you didn't have that instant replay. You didn't have that video feedback. You know, we had video, but you didn't have that video feedback that we didn't even see that until literally, I think we were watching ESPN Sports Center after the game. I think that's when we first saw it, you know? So it was one of those, like, again, and things change, you know? I think that's the one thing with our profession, especially, like, you know, the way you treat things now versus the way you treated things 10 years ago, man, it's changed. And if you don't keep up with the times and you don't start, you know, moving along, there's still a lot of old school stuff that still works great, but you got to stay up with the times and you got to stay up with the research to make sure you're doing things correctly.
And not a whole lot of people, Chris, have that experience of so much on the line. And I'm sure you look back on what you do in today's habits and kind of in your workplace, right? What protocol is followed up on. I'm sure you look back on those times. Obviously, tremendous technological improvements. But I think you being a part of that moment has given you all the tools and resources to handle, you know, high stress situations in real time.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, when you talk to young athletic trainers coming up, it's learning how to deal with the stress and learning how to deal with consequences and making, you know, you got to make decisions quick. You know, you don't have the 20 minutes to evaluate. Sometimes you may only have 2 or 3 minutes to evaluate, and you have to understand how to do that and then utilize your resources. Like, it wasn't just me making that decision. You know, our team docs were down there, and, you know, and it's, you know, we still do it to this day. Like, you know, we work with the junior teams that are around here. We work with a lot of youth soccer and a lot of youth club hockey and figure skating. And it's the same thing. I mean, it's obviously a different level, but you're still making the same decisions on the same, you know, with the same, you know, the same decisions with the same consequences. I mean, you're still having to do those things. So learning how to progress and learning how to make changes and learning how to, you know, do things to the best of your ability is still really key.
Well said. Well said. So on the road, oftentimes we'll go out for some pickleball, and shout out to Kent French, Frenchie, traveling the world. We miss you. Can't wait to see you again. But Frenchie took some hard spills. All of Orange Country saw it, was on full display on all social channels, just diving for balls, just grinding, playing playoff pickleball. on a random afternoon in Calgary. I got a hunch that at Compete, are you getting more over or 65 plus demographic entering the Compete doors? Due to pickleball?
65 and older, probably not. But I will tell you, like, our active adults in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. I think our oldest client right now is probably in his early 70s. And some of it's pickleball related, some of it's tennis related. We had two clients that just ran the OC marathon last weekend, you know, and it's like, you're seeing that, you know, my generation, and I'm 56 years old. So my generation and your generation, like, hey, we're not as young as we used to be, but we still want to be active as we used to be. So you still push and you want to be as good as you can. So like the marathon runners, man, they're coming in, making sure their bodies are healthy, doing the strength stuff they need to. We've got some tennis players. We've had a couple pickleball players that come in with some like minor injuries in there. They just want to get better because they want to play. Like, they enjoy the competition. They enjoy the camaraderie and just the social aspect of it. And they miss it. So yeah, we're definitely seeing a lot more, you know, adults coming in to train. It's not just, we don't just have high school, college, and pro athletes here.
And kind of circling back to hockey. I mean, when it comes to injuries from your time as a athletic trainer for the Ducks, or as you moved on, of course, even after that, with more NHL games under your belt, were the injuries just as common as far as same back in the day as they are now, or are different? Has it gone from shoulders to groins now? Any differentiation in injuries from yesterday to today?
I don't think so. I mean, I always noted when I was in basically the American League and the National League, you seem to see trends, you know, and you had like a couple years in a row, you'd have more hip flexor and groin strains, and then you'd address it with more preventative stuff. And those, then they would start to get better and you wouldn't see so many. Then you would see more, you know, shoulder injuries because of all the, obviously the contact. Then when they came out with the new boots and the Kevlar boots that were stiffer, you started to see some more ankle injuries. But I mean, when you look at the injuries we saw 20 years ago and the injuries we see now in hockey, still really similar. Like they really don't, I don't feel like they've changed a lot. I mean, you still see a fair amount of MCLs. You see a good amount of shoulders. You still always get in the groins and the hip flexors. And then the one thing I have noticed is we have seen an influx of ACL tears in hockey players, which in my pro career, I think I had one. And in the last probably 3 years here, I think we've had five or six.
And why do you think that is? Is that the speed changing? I mean, the skill play is increasing. Therefore, you know, defending wise, it's kind of, you know, holding the defenders up.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the speed of play, you know, but just like everything now, like you go from like when I first started to when you played to when the guys that play now, everybody, every 10 years, guys are getting bigger, faster, stronger. And I think those are just some things that, you know, it's a rough sport. It's a fast sport. It's a collision sport. And I think that's probably what's caused it. Usually, like I said, we see a ton of soccer players with it, but we never really saw a lot of hockey players. And I think in the last few years, it's definitely increased, unfortunately.
And young or old, maybe even non-hockey players, any athletes that tune in to Eat 'Em Up, let's give them some food for thought, maybe a template, if you will, for any underrated warm-ups that they can do, any exercises. Once again, warming up for practice or a beer league game, whatever the case may be, underrated exercises, warm-ups that players young and old can utilize that you don't see too often out there.
I think from the youth side real quick is, you know, you always see the youth teams warming up before a game, but you never see them warm up before practice. So whatever warm-ups you use for your games, for the youth kids, Do it for practice as well. For the adults and the beer leaguers, let's be honest, we don't have a lot of time. It's later in the evening. Hey, do some bodyweight squats, do some lunges, do some reverse lunges, do some lateral lunges, do one set of 10 of each, and then get a little bit of stretching in before you hop on the ice. Because we all know the beer league, like the warm-up is two laps and we go, you know? And then after, you know, hey, hopefully you're sitting there with a beer enjoying yourself with your buddies. Grab a foam roll that you can throw in your bag. You can buy an Amazon for $20 or whatever. Throw it in your bag and foam roll like your glutes and your quads and your groins and get a little stretch while you're kind of cooling down at the end. Instead of, I think the ones I've seen, a lot of guys just, you know, hey, I show up 15 minutes before the game, throw my gear on, two laps, play the game, you know, hop in the car, drive home, go to bed, and wake up in the morning and I can't move. Well, you know, we got to warm up and cool down a little bit. So I think, you know, especially for the beer leaguers and the, you know, those guys, get out, take 5 minutes, just do set of bodyweight squats, set of lunges, set of reverse lunges, set of lateral lunges, couple stretches, groin hip flexor stretches, go play, and then come off, hop on that foam roller. You know, it's simple, throw in your bag, doesn't take up a lot of space, foam roll, glutes, IT bands, quads, groins, and then get a little bit of stretching in. You know, again, just spend like 5 minutes. Like it doesn't have to be a long time. You know, but just enough to kind of cool, warm up and cool down, I think will make a big difference with the older guys.
Too much heat right there. Practice how you play. Right, Chris? Practice how you play.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. Look, you set the bar so high, we got to end it right there. We got to end it on a high note. Before we take off here, any plugs, socials, where can we find you?
Sure. Website's competeperformance.com. You can find us on Instagram at Compete Sports Performance. My email is Chris at Compete Performance. You can find that all that stuff too. And hey, mention Eat 'Em Up and 50% off your first, you know, your first visit with us. We'd love to have you guys in.
You heard it right there from the head honcho himself, Chris Phillips. Thanks so much for hopping on here. Eat 'Em Up. And look, I look forward to catching up later down the road.
Thanks, Emmer. Appreciate the time.
Talk soon. If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide. Wow. I mean, just a legend right there. He's helped so many young athletes, old athletes, just regular, just Joe Schmo people that really care to maintain healthy lifestyles, prevent injuries. And look, I mean, we all know whether it's unloading stuff out of the truck or whatever the case may be, we know what it's like to tweak it back. We know what that's like to just get that knock in hour by hour, day-to-day living. It's unfortunate. Chris does such a great job to keep the community healthy, athlete or not. So just great stuff from him. And we got more to get to. So it just keeps getting better and better on today's epi of Eat 'Em Up. Let's get right to it. I mentioned it coming right out of the gate. Coach Q hired. That happened on May 8th. And a press conference on May 8th was soon to follow. It was unbelievable. You had Pat Verbeek, trust the process. I mean, he's made great decisions. We all know that. He has, whether it's Leo, whether it is, Dumoulin. And look, there's key pieces circumstantially that have really boded well. You add even more defensive presence with Trouba and that ability to, as these games intensify and get more competitive, where we start talking playoffs, right? Just key pieces have been brought on, and we just know that it's about to foam over and just absolutely reach new heights. I cannot wait. But Coach Q coming in the press conference, Pat said what he needed to say. He came in, every point he made was crisp, clear, direct, as far as Coach Q and look, taking the time for him to work on himself and really learning from what had transpired in Chicago, unfortunate times. But the path is fresh for Coach Q. We cannot wait. I mean, we heard the enthusiasm out of him. And you know, he's a guy where we've seen videos of him, you know, high level of intensity, getting his players going. But you could hear just that sense of fresh opportunity in his voice and a good energy that he's going to bring. And look, it's going to be a locker room where the players can just flat out play. They can go out, play, and that's got to feel good, right? It's a clean slate for players, coaches. We have obviously other news when it comes to the coaching department. Look, we'll see with this whole mix-up who's coming on board, right? All that remains to be seen. But Joel Quenneville, he is a double win in my book, triple win. He's already won three cups as a head coach, one as an assistant. He's a proven coach year in and year out for decades in this league. And I mean, Pat was mentioning how, and this is probably some of his best points in that press conference, is a lot of similarities between team structures. Or if you look back at the Chicago Blackhawks team, very, very much the same as far as ages. And as we can remember, Jonathan Toews being named captain at extremely young age, it worked for them. Worked for, of course, Gabriel Landeskog in Colorado, even though it took some time after being named captain there. So very similar on paper structures for when Joel Quenneville got to Chicago and Florida too. And look how those guys blossom. Huberto, right? I mean, those years, 100-point player, just he was a superstar in those years. He's getting back to that level. He's still not even close. But, you know, Huberto, thrived under Coach Q. You have a guy like Barkov, who was already solidified. But, I mean, in those younger years for him, Coach Q, a big reason why those two in particular really popped off when they did and were looking for Leo to be that point per game guy that he shows shift in and shift out. Mac T, I mean, he showed that he's a bull, he's a dog, he can be a point per game guy. And that's what we need. We need that Eric Lindros type of guy who gets in the corners and bangs. And it's just a guy that's in and around the net. And Mac T already had a good shot. He took that to a whole nother level. His one-timer capability, that was probably one of the biggest improvements to his game right there on the far side flank there with the one T. I mean, how many of those did he put home throughout this past year? So we need those guys to reach a point a game. And we can count on a guy like Coach Q to make that happen. So I love Pat coming out and saying, look, he's seen it before. Coach Q has got it done in those scenarios in the past. And when it comes to free agent coaches throughout that list, of course, you still have Tockett. Laviolette's still out there. There's a few. David Carl, I know he signed that extension with Denver there. I'd heard there was an out clause. But there's, you know, five. You have Gallant there. So you have, you know, four or five. Bruce Boudreaux rounding out the five there of guys that, look, I mean, this is one of the better free agent coaching times that I can remember. And, I mean, yeah, Ducks scored here. That's 100% true. And once again, just going back to, you know, an underrated strength of Pat is his connections. And it goes back to his playing days. I mean, he was a longtime National Hockey Leaguer as a player. And now, you know, long time in the management role and, you know, scout, so on and so forth. And look, he's got so many years of NHL experience. We all know that. But all the connections made over the years, we've seen the exchanges trade-wise between him and Stevie Y. So if you think about the connections and the strength he has in that department, the sky's the limit. And we're just going to keep growing and the young guys getting better. And the high-octane, high-power, high-flight free agents going to be signed July 1. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. But going back to that point, Pat and Coach Q played together with the Devils and the Whalers. So a lot of history between the two. And bottom line, point blank, it was a great press conference there on the 8th. A lot of good questions from the reporters as well. But the point was crystal clear that it's a clean slate. It's a new page for Coach Q. You could hear it in his voice. Pat's ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. And I know all of Orange Country couldn't be more stoked to have Coach Q and bring that leadership, right? It's getting the most out of the players. That's what he does. Jonathan Toews, he just needed a guy like Coach Q to take him to new heights in his game for years and years and years. And there's a lot of guys with that hardcore hungry mentality that Toews had on the Ducks roster. And having a coach like Coach Q, who is going to unleash that with every player within their own respective games, I cannot wait. Playoffs. Going back to the first round, okay? For me, 5 out of the 8 total series I had predicted right. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it 100, hundo P. 100%. Okay? Incorrectly picking the Kings, I don't know if I'll ever forgive myself. Okay? I'm still thinking of a punishment for myself. It's unacceptable. I take full responsibility for backing the Kings. Quite frankly, I don't mean to throw Carolyn under the bus. She had a great take. Okay? We all heard it. I hopped on that train blindfolded, not knowing where I was going. And I got to the destination and I hated it. And never again will I bank on the Kings in any which moment, in any which point of time. I apologize once again, and I'll have those details for my punishment maybe by next epi. Maybe. Yeah, the Colorado, Dallas, hey, it was close. The one I look back on, it was just a complete fool for this one, was picking the Lightning over the Panthers. Just knowing where they were in the standings, Panthers coming in hot during playoffs, it solidified. Some guys, and I'm not naming names, are playoff guys, and some aren't. And I'll leave it at that. And the Panthers continue to prove that they can battle adversity, not let it affect them. And I think for every other team, and there's been teams, this is weird because there's a lot of teams that are just, it's almost like the second round has posed more questions than answers. Because Edmonton, I mean, you know, domination. I mean, who saw the sheer domination? That's what I'm saying. It could be a close series, and then, you know, one team pulls it out, but sheer domination. You know, Dallas, you could say, okay, Dallas, yeah, I could see it, but the sheer domination, that one, you know, I mean, it's just, it's teams separating themselves, and just that one close series with Toronto and in Florida. But it's like, who the heck, you know, who predicted the Canes? And let's see if they close out here tonight. But the Canes putting the kibosh on the cap so far. I mean, who saw that? So a lot of great hockey left to be played. There have been more questions out of the second round than answers. I look forward to it all. Our beer league tip for this epi. I got a lot of flack for the last beer league tip. You know, I had comments, hey, you know, and it was about the high delay, mid delay, low delay on the offensive zone entry. Oh, Amber, come on. I can't even turn. There's a couple of people can't even turn, I guess. And I'm like, look, I don't care, 30, 40, 50. Why play in 3-4 leagues that I hear you're playing in? You're playing in 10. You're playing in copper. You're playing in gold. You're playing in polyurethane. You're playing in aluminum. You're playing in all these different leagues. And then I get, hey, I can't turn. Well, trim down the leagues, learn how to turn, and then utilize it. The high delay, the mid delay, the low delay, and extend possession. Moving on, though. I'm gonna simplify it here. Okay, the beer league tip for today's epi is on the forecheck. You hit the red, put it in a place in which you can get that puck back. Don't just rim it around so the tendy comes out of the blue paint, captures that puck behind the net, and then starts their team's breakout. Easy peasy for them. Put it in the corner where the goalie can't get it. Get on the inside, fight for that puck, win that battle, boom. You either play with the puck or you chase the game. So on forechecks, if you rim it, you better rim it hard and miss that tendy. Okay, because if the tendy gets the puck behind the net, it's too easy. It starts the other team's breakout, and you're not making plays in the offensive zone. Okay, so put that puck in the corner, soft chip, soft flip, dead into the corner, and get after it and put that puck away from the goalie. I had few coaches that actually harped on that. It should be a non-negotiable, kind of goes without saying kind of thing. But I got to say, Bruce Boudreau, he was one of the few coaches that I had that, hey, keep the puck away from the goalie. And you watch these, you know, playoff games, that's the game within the game. That goes with the discipline. That goes with the not going offsides. That goes with the not taking too many men on the ice penalties. That goes with those details that they add up. And the team that executes, okay, on those details, those are the teams that end up just winning it all. How about this Stian Solberg. This guy is unreal. We knew that he could put guys through the glass like goods or like troops. We all knew that. Watching his draft highlights this season, putting guys through the boards. But all of a sudden, you know, he's playing that Truba, Gudas, heavy physical type of mean game. And then all of a sudden, he gets to San Diego, and then he turns on the burners offensively. Half a point a game there. And then the WCs, he's a goal a game, including a Hattie versus Team USA. I'm not cheesed at that overall game or his performance because it's a Ducks prospect dominating against the USA. That's the only exception right there, folks. That's the only exception for me. One of our own, putting his team on his back and getting things done. How about that first goal of the Hattie? O'Connor coming up top. He had inches to work with there. He had inches to work with right inside that offensive zone blue line. Little shimmy, beats O'Connor, and then boom, rocket. And then the second and third one were just absolute bombs. Absolute bombs. Are we getting like the Subban type where he can throw the just deadly hip checks, but he can get it done on the score sheet? Is it like that Dustin Byfuglien type where it's like, whoa, you know, getting up to the point of game-ish numbers and he's putting guys over the boards? I'm just saying we knew the physical aspect of his game was 100% there, but he's producing. It's translating to the North American game. So 100%, we hope it continues. It's just very good to see. What an epi. It was an epi in which we highlighted a turning point in this Ducks organization where we're ready. We're ready. The games have been a lot more competitive, right? Guys taking those next steps. But Coach Q, baby, I cannot wait. He's going to maximize his time here, his resources. He's going to take this team and just put it on top. We just know. We just know. I can't wait. Orange Country, thanks again for tuning in. See you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.